This is Andrew Phipps. Welcome to our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast today. Wherever you might be viewing, I hope that you enjoy the program, that perhaps something beneficial will come your direction. We want to try to help folks wherever possible, and today we have a variety of different portions in this program. We have tried to galvanize it and put it all together into one totality, and I think you're going to hopefully enjoy part of a little message I shared just recently at our home church, Liberty Baptist Church in Muncie, Indiana. Let's go now to the auditorium. Jesus Christ just does not want to save a few of the sinners. He said it wasn't his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe that today, don't you? Notice here he said that you're going to be a witness. Now, I think this is an area where we can fall short. I mentioned here the other night, I believe it was in our little subject, that I think there's about three ways you can tell if you're getting cold or losing your first love. When you're no longer consumed with the love of the Savior, when sin no longer convicts you and the second coming no longer concerns you, I'm afraid that we ought to have an inventory. You see, I believe that we can know that we've passed from death unto life. Somebody said, you won't know until you get there. You better be finding it out before then. The Bible, get this, the Bible lets me know I'm saved.
Amen.
The witness of the Holy Spirit lets me know that I'm saved. The Bible said if I would meet his commandments, I could have life. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? If you've done that to the best of your ability and you believed on him, his death, his burial, and resurrection, you have salvation in the present tense. We can affirm that. We can know. We can know that we love the brethren. We can love the things of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that maybe we couldn't get cold, or maybe we could get a little indifferent, or maybe we need brushing up a little bit, but I still believe this. I've believed it, that if a person can stay out of church, can sin and it not bother, never contribute to the church in any way through their treasures, through their testimony, or through their abilities, I'm afraid that maybe something is lacking there. People far smarter than me will tell you that we believe that, unfortunately, that many today that have a name on a church book may not in fact know the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be something that bubbles up on the inside of you when somebody starts bragging on the Lord. If you find that to be antagonistic, if you don't like singing and preaching, if you don't like people to shout and you don't like for people to get happy, I'm afraid maybe something is out of kilter. Something may not be right. I don't give a lot of credence to people that say I got saved in 1946 in a certain part of the country and haven't been back to church since. That's just me personally. I'm believing here today, he said, you'll be a witness. What is a witness? One is a witness that goes before a tribunal, a judge, and gives testimony to what he knows or what he has seen. You can only testify of the things that the Lord has done for you. I mean, a blind man that was blind that now sees says, I can see. A man that couldn't speak and now is able to speak can speak. A man that wasn't able to walk and can now walk, he's showing something has happened. And I believe that in every instance, those people were happy about the change that happened to them. We ought to be happy in the Lord. We ought to rejoice in the Lord. Yes, it shouldn't bother us to rejoice in the Lord. Somebody said, well, they'll think I'm beside myself. They ought to. They ought to say, there's something wrong with that person. Why, they act like a Christian. They exhibit Christian tendencies. Have you ever been around somebody and they get to witnessing to you, and you just say, go ahead and preach for a while? And I believe here the Bible lets us know that if we're going to be a witness, it's not just here. Now, we can only witness where we are. Maybe you can't go to Kenya or India or somewhere like that. That's why we have mission programs. We're to take the gospel. The gospel is the only thing that liberates people. The gospel is the only thing that'll give you tranquility. The gospel is the only thing that will take you from your shackles and give you a new purpose and a new direction. When people truly come to know the Lord, when they truly come to know the Lord, I think there's an excitement about it, don't you? I believe we want to tell others about it. I mean, you don't have to be around all day. Somebody that loves the Lord. Seemed like to me a few years ago we had some of the older ones, and I don't want to live in the past, that's not what I'm trying to do, but seemed like people had a desire to talk about the Bible. Vance Havner said, how are we going to fight in the battles against spiritual wickedness when many of us are still in kindergarten? We need to know something about this book. We need to know what it means. I'll put in my 2 cents worth here. I'm not going to follow just family because they go to a certain church. Your kids or grandkids or great-grandkids may take you to the Taj Mahal or somewhere. That's not where I'm going. You can't do that. If it corresponds with the Bible, you can believe it. The Holy Ghost never contradicts the Bible, and the Bible never contradicts the Holy Ghost. If you are in doubt about whether you ought to do something or not, see if it's in this book. Somebody said, well, the Lord told me to go over here and, you know, plant something. Well, can you back it up by the Bible? What reference do you have? I think that Christ was saying here, the Father has put certain things under his power. And you're not going to know the day nor the hour. But I'm telling you, when you look at 2 Timothy and you look at 19 characteristics that are given there of the end times, it looks like that we're fulfilling a big portion of them. It bothers me today that we live in so much spiritual wickedness and ignorance. We've got family, most of us do, that unless somebody gets the gospel to them in a hurry, it looks like a fearful road is out before them. When I think about the men here in our own community, men that are getting up in years, who's going to take their place? Who's going to pastor their churches? Who's going to lead their flocks? I'm concerned that our young people are not going to know one thing about this Bible here. They're not going to know anything about it. They're going to be easily swayed. And the fact of the matter is, as we get closer and closer to the end times, they may be given spiritual darkness. They may be given eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear. We've got a big responsibility. We've got a big job to do. Now, with every responsibility, there is an opportunity. Somebody said, well, so-and-so's are coming into our country. Maybe I don't like that any better than you do, but at least it's an opportunity for us to witness to them. It's an opportunity for us to take the gospel to them. Behind every negative, there lies a positive. Let's not try to see a problem in every opportunity. I want to stay as encouraged as I can, as best I can. And I want to do that today. I like this fact here that he said that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The power to witness. The power to witness. That's what it's all about. It wasn't the power to necessarily do miracles. All of that ended in the apostolic age. An apostle was one who had, with his own eyes, had seen Christ. We don't have any of those in the present time. This is the church age. This is the calling out of the assembly, the ecclesia, the nucleus. This is our day. This is our time. We're not in the kingdom age. We're not in under the law. We don't represent, we don't take the Jewish Sabbath and worship there on it. We worship on the first day of the week. And it could be any day of the week if that was so according to what we wanted. Paul said there, man, the day was made for man, not man for day. Well, I ramble, but so be it. Like so many of you, I have always enjoyed good quality harmony four-part singing. The Dixie Echoes from Pensacola, Florida do it well. They were organized by the late J.G. Whitfield back in the late 1940s. And Randy Shelnut and his son and group, they continue to sing. You'll like their arrangements of Crumbs from the Table.
Mercy on me. table for strength needed to follow thee. And I'd be ever so grateful for crumbs from the table for strength needed to follow thee.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us as would be indicated there on the screen. And friends, we live, unfortunately, today in a world of wokeism, cancel culture mentality, and we try to somehow navigate through the abnormal, which is pushed and promoted as being normal. I saw a great quote the other day, and I think it's very good. It says, anyone who normalizes sexual immorality is calling God a liar. Anyone who calls God a liar does not have the truth of Jesus Christ in them. The preaching of the Bible, and especially if you preach doctrine, it seemingly irritates people because the Bible tells us that we are sinners first and foremost, that God created us in His own image, but we rebelled and went our own ways. It's been the story of mankind. But Jesus went to an old rugged cross so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. But unfortunately, so much of the world today, so much of what we would call secular society, they do not want the Bible. The Bible is abhorrent to them. The Bible reveals their sins. The Bible is one that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that without Christ, we can't make heaven. And so we see a lot of substitute thinking. We see people that, as I said, reject absolutes. They go to secular humanism. They want to go to whatever feels good. If they enjoy it, well, that's what we ought to have. Many of our fundamental Bible-believing churches have suffered as a result of that because no longer do the preachers in most of those places call sin by its name. The Bible lets me know that the Lord is a thrice holy God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And for us to look at His Word and say, well, that doesn't mean anything. I don't believe I'll take that. You know, when you go to the book of Romans chapter 1 and it reveals, and Paul writing there tells folks exactly who they are when they try to change the roles of the sexes. And when they become in love with their own sex, so to speak, consequently, folks, they look beyond those chapters and they say, well, let's go over here and find one that's more appealing, one that has maybe a little bit more sweetness to us. But we ought to declare the Bible as it is to folks as they are. I'm not here to try to make the church more like the world. The world has become a little churchy. We can understand that. But the church has become a whole lot worldly. Preachers in my generation, and preachers many Before my time, they preached the Bible straightforward. We call it gun barrel straight. They preached it with power. They preached it with purpose. They preached it with perseverance. And so today, I agree with the apostle. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Today about vigilance or being vigilant. We were told that. Seemed like the word vigilant, you know, we talk about people that maybe they have a vigil or they watch. That word encompasses observing, watching, being aware of. And I think if there was ever a day and time that we have to be vigilant, it's today. Not only in our own personal surroundings. So many of the big cities with crime running amok, with crime on the increase, and people are reluctant to get out at different times. They become prisoners of their own homes or tenement houses or apartments, and they're afraid of what they may encounter in the streets. Lawlessness seems like has taken over, and mayors and district attorneys that are soft on crime, that want to allow the victim to take all of the punishment, but for the violator to basically go free. We've got to have order in our society. And I think we not only have to be vigilant in our physical surroundings, we have to be vigilant in our spiritual surroundings. In churches, we need to know what's being taught. We need to know what's being promulgated. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If the doctrine is not correct, it doesn't matter what the details are. We have to have the right doctrine. It has to encompass the fundamentals of the faith, the distinctives that set us apart. And that's why oftentimes churches that have no name or that do not identify with a denomination, most people go there don't have any idea of what they believe. Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps. And the seriousness of the hour demands that each one of us be vigilant, be sober. We need to be critical in our thinking. We need to be aware of what's taking place. Those that dismiss everything and say, well, we're not going to be involved. We won't vote. We're oblivious to the political process. That's a serious mistake. The freedom to worship, the freedom of religion was the very first right enumerated in Amendment Number 1 when John Leland, the Baptist preacher, helped James Madison write that. And to negate the influence that you might have in the process is to simply say, I don't care. Our rights came from God, but it's up to me and you to defend them. The price of liberty is not free. It always comes at a price. Even when the Lord gave his life so that we could have life, he paid it all. And you and I, we need to do what we can to stand in these troublesome times. And this is Andrew Phipps. Well, friends, let me again thank you for joining us today. We are in your area simply by faith. As you well know, we do very little in asking for anything. But we certainly appreciate those of you that believe in what we're trying to do. If we have established any credibility and you'd like to be a supporter or a monthly helper with our Faith, Family, and Freedom programs, the contact information will be put up on the screen for you. We have a website, Phipps Faith, Family, and Freedom. You can go there, use whatever means, PayPal. And again, we don't want to overdo that. We don't want to be charlatans. We want to be real, the real deal. But if you like what we do and you feel that maybe we ought to continue, we thank you in advance for your help. I'll look forward to seeing you again at the next opportunity. This is Andrew Phipps. Have a great day.